In the Inca shamanic tradition of Peru, we turn to the north direction to call forth the teachers of the ancestors, of the grandmothers and their dreamings. The archetype animal is Kinte hummingbird, who makes the epic journey despite all odds from the south to the north. My mother's mother died before I was born, but she journeyed from Europe to the United States, then to Saskatchewan, where my mother was born. My father's mother was an integral part of my early life. She was named Frances. She journeyed from Croatia at age 16 to the United States, and she traveled to America, where the only person she knew was a cousin. She spoke no English, and she had a very limited education. She met and married my father's father in Kansas City, Kansas, and he too was an immigrant from Croatia. They saved their money and they bought land in Canada and immigrated and journeyed again to Saskatchewan with four children. My father was born in Saskatchewan in a two-room shack, which is still standing. And Danae has made a painting of that building, but I couldn't find it this morning, so I don't have it to show you. Grandma Frances was a devoted Catholic and attended daily Mass and communion. She told me that her own mother would make the Stations of the Cross in Croatia at Easter, crawling up the mountain on her hands and knees to the summit where the cross was. So I suppose that was another kind of spiritual journey. Yet, my grandmother was very liberal in her views. And I vividly remember her telling me that there are many paths to God, many paths to God, and that the Catholic Church did not have the corner on that market. She said all people on earth have their own way of worship, and all prayer is listened to by God. Her lessons gave me permission at a very young age to question and choose my own path, and it seems she was a direct link to my Unitarian Universalism. My mother, Elizabeth, supported my daughter Tracy and myself as she was able, and Tracy received counsel and directions from my mother, her grandmother, in ways only a grandmother can give. When my granddaughter, Danae, was three, my daughter expressed concern that Danae was becoming very materialistic, especially around Christmas and Santa Claus. Although I had stopped attending Beacon regularly, I knew this was my opportunity to return, and I suggested I begin to bring Danae to church. What a fine decision that was. Excuse me. This was the beginning of a granddaughter-grandmother spiritual and social journey that has flourished and continues till today. Danae and I have been participating members of this congregation since that time. The religious education program has provided a forum and foundation for her moral, ethical, and spiritual development. I most appreciate the strong sense and of social obligation she feels as a citizen of the world, of Canada, of British Columbia, and of this community. We both feel strongly connected to the Beacon community, and it has been my delight to share this journey with her over time. I was convinced we were on the right path when around Danae's fourth year, we were on a drive to church, and she asked out of the blue, Nona, that's me, I'm called Nona, are you a vegetarian because you are a Unitarian?
Wow.
Bingo, the connection between action and the way you live your life. A sense of what a lived principle is at the age of four. Another time, a group of parents or a parent was driving a group of Danae's classmates, I think they were around six or seven, from her school, and they were on an outing, and these girls began to diss and gossip about another girl who was absent. Danae quietly piped up saying, "I like her. She's my friend." There was dead silence in the car. And then Danae asked them, "How would you feel if we gossiped about you like that?" They hardly spoke for the rest of the journey home. There she was, teaching by example. And I know she learned this in her religious education at Beacon. During our drives to church, we get to discuss social and moral issues, and I get to hear what is important and current in her life. And of course, we gossip about our family stuff as well. My grandson Declan stopped coming with us several years ago, but he occasionally attends special services and he has participated in Christmas pageants. At school, he is often singled out by teachers to sit by the special needs children. He says it's because he's usually away or he's late and he doesn't get to choose his partner. But I suspect it's because his teacher knows he has a gentle and tolerant attitude. And these are qualities he learned in his brief attendance at Beacon's RE program. Danae's participation at Beacon has enriched her social conscience and given her confidence to question the dogma taught to her Christian friends. She knows their Bible stories and can challenge them to think about what they have been taught with an informed knowledge because she's learned it in her education. Danae has demonstrated her sense of connection to her grandmothers by fostering and insisting, in fact, on staying connected with my mother throughout Danae's life. One sunny day when Danae was six, my mother was visiting from Saskatchewan. And over a very formal cup of tea, she asked my mother about her mother. She said, "Great Grandma, what was your mother's name? I imagine she's dead now, but will you tell me about her? What was she like? And what did she like?" You can imagine the loving beam on my mother's beautiful face as she had this conversation with her great-granddaughter. And the two of them look very much alike. I just want to say to anyone who is bringing their children here for the first time or is contemplating bringing their children to Beacon, I cannot express the profound impact Danae's regular attendance to this congregation and the process over time has had on her development as a person. She embodies and lives the values she has learned and practiced here. I want to thank you, Joan, for giving me this opportunity to honor the relationship with my granddaughter. And I want to thank you, Danae. For the privilege of being your Nona. And thank you for the enrichment I receive from you and through our special relationship.
Very nice. Thank you.
I've been going to Beacon for over 13 years. I can't remember a time when I wasn't going to church with my Nona every Sunday. I remember when Terry was still our RE programmer. And the few Sundays that we got to take my baby brother to church were so exciting. There were fewer then because he was still an infant. Nona, my proud grandmother, got to show off her grandson. I remember when Don Halka used to write our Christmas pageants. When I was 7, I played Mary. I wanted to play Mary. I asked Don if I could well before we started rehearsals. I also asked if I could not have any lines because I was scared. So that year, I played Mary, but Mary with no lines. The next year, I asked for one line. I played one of the three angels in Don's Jack and the Beanstalk variation of Jesus' birth. The year after, I played one of the leads. I was one of the three siblings who had a passion for music. Every year, there was a role for my Nona, too. We would practice at home together and get excited and think of costumes. It was through our pageants that my love of the arts and mostly drama was developed and nurtured. My Nona is really informed about what is happening around us, around the world. Through her and our RE social action, I have developed knowledge about modern day issues. That has helped me develop my passion for helping others, knowing there are so many who need it. Helping and being open fall under our 7 principles that I learned in RE. I'm an environmentalist. I work with children, and I'm thinking about a career in law or psychology, like my Nona. We get to talk about psychology before church sometimes. She's a counselor. Without the exposure I received through RE and my Nona, I don't think I would be as aware and passionate about helping others as I am today. Families in my life include immediate, extended, elementary school, high school, work, youth, the Beacon congregation, and all other life on this planet. I look forward to expanding my Unitarian Universalist family when I attend my first Unitarian Youth Conference. I love who I am, my life, my blood family, my friends, my job, my school, and the earth. I'm always proud to be part of Beacon and to be a Unitarian. Not all these aspects of my life rely on my Unitarianism, but they do rely on my morals and my values, which rely on my Unitarianism. It is safe to say that being Unitarian has been a big part of molding my life, a support beam, if you will. Without it, I wouldn't be the same person I am today. I have Beacon to thank for that, but most of all, I have my Nona to thank for introducing me to Beacon and Unitarianism. Without her, I wouldn't have been the same person that I am today. Thank you, and thanks, Nona.
Thank you, Danae. When I first retired 7 years ago, I wondered if I would ever have grandchildren. My two daughters were both married, but there was no sign of any offspring. And then, that same year that I retired, the grandsons started arriving. One each year, and now there are 5 beautiful, active, healthy boys, ranging in age from almost 8 to almost 2 years. And most recently, Ev's son had a daughter, so there is finally a granddaughter, now 14 months. Well, one day, while driving the car with my 5-year-old grandson in the back seat, we were discussing tooth fairies. He had just lost his first tooth, and was telling me the tooth fairy would be leaving some money under the pillow that night. And then he said, "Grandma, where is heaven?" My mind went blank as I searched frantically for a response. Well, not totally blank, but full of questions. Was this related to the tooth fairy somehow? What can a 5-year-old possibly understand about such abstract concepts? What do his parents believe? My daughter, raised unchurched with a humanist atheist upbringing, her husband raised a Mormon. Actually, what do I believe about heaven? I couldn't pause too long because a grandma should know the answers to her grandson's questions if she's going to be a guide and a positive force in his life. I began to wonder, what is a grandmother's role? Is it just to dream of the possibilities for our younger ones? Or is it to have some positive influence or something else? think Rose has certainly, Rose and Danae have certainly shown us something about that. I have tried to model health, good relationships, love of the outdoors, the experience of adventure. I've introduced them to geocaching, a web-based hide-and-seek game that takes us out to parks searching for treasures. I try to be supportive with unconditional love and to be open to new ideas and to share my love of reading, giving books for birthdays. I recalled my own experience with my own grandparents. I was fortunate enough to know all four of my grandparents. I learned to love the outdoors from my maternal grandfather. We spent long, idyllic summers, a number of years, at their Ontario cottage on the Muskoka Lakes, where he taught me and my siblings to canoe, to swim, explore in the nearby woods, learn about the trees and the birds. I learned patience from my grandmother, and to iron, play bridge, and knit. She lived to be 99 years old and was the most patient person I've ever known. She knit 24 pairs of socks each year for Christmas gifts for each of her children and many grandchildren. I still have a pair of one of her last set of socks knit when she was 98 years old. From my paternal grandmother, I gained a love of music. She had a beautiful voice and sang in the church choir. She surrounded her family with singing and an appreciation for music. And from her husband, my paternal grandfather, who was a Methodist and then a United Church minister, I was encouraged to explore spiritual questions. I can remember, after finding Beacon Unitarian Church, tentatively suggesting that meditation was very much like prayer. He disagreed, but he was willing to listen, and I never felt chastised for leaving the United Church. Each of my grandparents modeled a loving, caring respect for me as an individual. Well, to get back to Ryan's question, I delayed some more and I asked him what his parents believed, what they had told him. He replied, "But Grandma, I want to know what you believe." He wasn't going to let me off the hook. But what if I tell him something different from his parents' beliefs? Will it be confusing for him, or worse, go against his parents' beliefs? I've believed it's important for me to support their approach to parenting, and have found myself at times biting my tongue, which had lots of good advice, but realizing that they had their own ways. I find that our relationship is much healthier if I wait for their requests or suggestions and help with the issues of child raising. I have tried to be respectful and supportive as they find their way through the challenges of bringing up their boys. And I realized I didn't actually know what they believed about heaven, hell, God, life after death. It might be a good discussion for me to have with them at some time. But at this point, I hadn't had that discussion. So what is my role as grandmother? I do believe it's important to answer as honestly as I can and not avoid the difficult questions. I want to encourage the relationship with my grandsons to build trust and to respect the beliefs of his parents. And the other question that I had was, what do five-year-olds understand? How do they understand abstract concepts like heaven? I have learned over the years that to go on and on with abstract concepts just turns them off. I remember the cute story we all used when I volunteered for Planned Parenthood and gave talks to parents of preschoolers about how to talk with your children about sex. The one where Johnny asks, "Where did I come from?" And Mom goes on and on about Daddy's sperm and Mommy's eggs, and you know, they get together, and Johnny patiently waits and then says, "But I want to know where I came from. Was it Vancouver or Victoria where we used to live?" James Fowler is a resource that Unitarians have referred to for information about the stages of faith and the development through the ages. I found a Unitarian Universalist Association tapestry. It's a program, a lifelong curriculum called the Tapestry of Faith, that described children's stages of spiritual development based on Fowler's work. Preschoolers are unable to think abstractly and are generally unable to see the world from anyone else's perspective. Children ages 6 to 12 are able to start to work out the difference between verified facts and things that might be more fantasy or speculation. Fowler says, faith is something to be experienced. At this stage, children think in concrete and literal ways. Faith becomes the stories told and the rituals practiced. And later in this stage, children begin to have the capacity to understand that others might have different beliefs than them. So it seemed that Ryan, my grandson, was getting to the stage of trying to work out the difference between facts and things that might be more fantasy or speculation. And he thinks in concrete and literal ways, so my response needed to be something that he could apply to his own experience and would be concrete. But you know what? I actually discovered the real question was for me, what do I believe? I have to admit, I stumbled with some with my answer to him. But I did come up with, I think that heaven is all around us. After all this work that I've done since then, I think what I would now add for him, with his concrete ability, his ability to understand through concrete and literal ways, I would add that heaven is all around us, with all the beautiful flowers and trees, the magic of seeds growing into amazing, yummy vegetables, the sky and stars, the mountains and rivers and oceans, and all the creatures around us. I'm not sure whether my brief answer satisfied him, and we moved on to other topics. But it certainly left me with a lot of questions and this wonderful opportunity to really explore my own beliefs further. Our minister, Deborah, was wise when she suggested that I might consider doing this homily along with Rose and Danae when I first started looking for a speaker. I was desperately trying to find somebody else, but it's been a wonderful opportunity for me. And it's given me a new appreciation for my role as grandmother and what a responsibility it is to be unconditionally loving, respectful, and honest. I'm realizing it's more than just holding them on my lap, reading stories, taking them on geocaching adventures, and picking them up after school occasionally. I trust that with my Unitarian values, I'll be able to model openness and acceptance of their views, share my respect for the inherent worth and dignity of every person. And my prayer for them will be that they will feel the freedom to do their own search for meaning in their lives.